I'm not sure the first name here, but the woman in question is the mother of Forbes Baker. Looks like EVALEANA. Evelina. Evelina Ferguson. Birthplace is Ravenswood, West Virginia. She arrived in Alaska in May of 1902. She writes, I landed in Skagway with husband W.C. Baker and two children, Forbes and Dorman. Came to Fairbanks June 19, 1906. Mr. Baker died February 17, 1907. I married R.W. Ferguson December 23, 1908. Roberta was born January 15, 1911. Spent 1 year, part of 1914-15, in the Tolovana district when it was just discovered. I did my real pioneering there, carried Bobby on a pack on my back wherever we went. Lived in a tent when it was 65 below, got my own wood and water while Roy prospected. Forbes and Dorman were called to the colors. Dorman died at Camp Lewis, November 21, 1918. It's interesting to note here that the American Legion post in Fairbanks, Alaska is named the Dorman H. Baker Post. Was named in the memory of Evelina Ferguson. Evelina Baker Ferguson's son, Dorman, died during World War II. Excuse me, World War I. Another entry is Leona Foster. Came to Skagway in 1899. Absolutely no history, that's it. Blank pages. Skip over here a few pages. The next one under the F's in this book is Mrs. Marie Harriet Friss, Friss. Born in London, England, arrived in Alaska in 1904. There is no history written in the historical volume here. Two little news releases, two little news items. One has written on it May 19, 1941, and the title of the story is Long Illness Ends the Life of Marie Friss. Widow of late Bernard Friss dies in Fairbanks at the age of 62. Illness of many years closed the life of Mrs. Marie Harriet Friss, widow of a pioneer Fairbanks property owner and businessman, at 7:55 a.m. today. Death came in Fairbanks 2 years after she was brought here seriously ill at her own request to spend her declining days in the city she called home. Her husband, the late Bernard Friss, died 2.5 years ago. Born in London, December 10, 1878, as Marie Fitzgerald, she came to Fairbanks in 1904. In 1926, she returned to the States, where she resided until 1939. She was the mother of Mrs. Edwin Zappel of Fairbanks. Other relatives are believed residing in and near Boston, Massachusetts. The body is at the Tye Funeral Home, where arrangements will be made for last rites. A very short article headed Pioneer Women Give Last Rites for Late Member reads as follows. Funeral ritual of the pioneer women will be conducted for the late Mrs. Marie Harriet Friss at 7 p.m. Thursday in Eagles Hall. The body of Mrs. Friss, who died Sunday in Fairbanks after many years of illness, will be interred in Fairbanks Cemetery beside the grave of her late husband, Bernard Friss. Funeral arrangements are under charge of the Tye Funeral Home. Other pioneers in the interior, Mrs. George Gasser. Apparently she was a member of the Pioneer Women of Alaska, but they have no entry in their membership book. Doubtlessly she was a member. There's a clipping here that's dated August 13th, 1959. It's headed Pioneers, Dr. and Mrs. George Gasser celebrate golden wedding anniversary. There's a picture, and I'll read the cut line under the picture. Dr. and Mrs. George Gasser, beloved Alaska pioneers, are shown on their golden wedding anniversary, August 12th. The Gassers were married in 1909 at the Rampart Experiment Station of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, where Gasser began his lifelong series of contributions to agriculture and to Alaska. The couple, who have lived in Fairbanks since 1921, were feted yesterday evening by friends from throughout the area at a reception given in their honor at the University Community Presbyterian Church. Story going with this picture and cut line. The 50th year of marriage was marked by Dr. and Mrs. George W. Gasser yesterday as their friends congregated in the University Community Presbyterian Church to congratulate them. The beloved Alaska pioneer couple was married in 1909 at the Rampart Experimental Station of the Department of Agriculture near Sitka. Gasser, who was born of Swiss parents and attended Kansas State College, met Beatrice, his wife-to-be, at Rampart. He asked her hand in marriage shortly after her brother had recommended him as a good man. Why don't you marry him? The local jeweler stayed sober just long enough to fashion a wedding ring from gold nuggets from the mine owned by Beatrice's brother. One of Gasser's many agricultural developments at the station was Trapmar, Rampart spelled backwards. It's a brand of, not a brand, but a barley. A long series of experiments, projects, and papers followed. In 1921, instead of returning to the States, the Gassers came to Fairbanks, where he took over the U.S. Department of Agriculture's experiment station at college. Other assignments included being director of the Matanuska Experimental Farm, first dean of agriculture at the University of Alaska, and Commissioner of Agriculture for Alaska until age 76. Dr. Gasser served a term in the House of Representatives and in other activities has been described by fellow Rotarians as exemplifying the Rotary motto, which is service above self, both in and out of Rotary. An honorary doctor's degree was given to Gasser in 1955 by the University of Alaska. In the same year, he was honored by having Gasser wheat, a variety which he developed to suit Alaska conditions, named for him. Retirement for the Gassers has meant continued service to the community by sharing their vast store of knowledge on Alaska and others. A love of animals has led Dr. Gasser to become president of the Humane Society, another community benefit. From all those who know and love the George W. Gassers, and there are many who do, comes the wish for continued happiness and good health together. Minnie Fraser Gillette was born in Grand something, New Brunswick. She came to Alaska in July of 1904, landing at Juneau. Her history, brief as it is, but longer than many of them, she writes, I arrived in Fairbanks, Alaska in October 1911 to join husband L.R. Gillette, who had been appointed assistant U.S. attorney in 4th Division. Have lived here continuously with exception of the summer of 1912 spent in Tanana. Children are as follows. Margaret Elizabeth Thomas, by former husband, born Seattle August 18, 1902. Louise Crosley Gillette, born Fairbanks, March 16, 1912. Louis Fraser Gillette, born in Fairbanks, June 29, 1913. Mary Lakeman Gillette, born Fairbanks, December 22, 1914. Deceased, September 29, 1918. Carol Suzanne Gillette, born in Fairbanks, December 12, 1918. Have experienced no hardships of pioneer life excepting those shared in common with settlers in a remote country. Was a member of Midnight Sun Chapter, Order of Eastern Star, member of the Christian Science Society, Fairbanks. Joined Igloo No. 3 in September of 1920. Louise Gilmore, who was born in Dayton, Ohio, arrived in Alaska March 30th, 1899. She writes, I arrived in Skagway, Alaska, March 30th, 1899, resided there 1 year, and returned to Ohio and remained there 4 months, then returned to Skagway again and later to Dawson. In 1904, I came to Fairbanks and have lived here ever since. End of history. Too bad some of these people spent so many years up here didn't write more. Here's another one with absolutely nothing except her name, birthplace, and when she arrived. Her name is Bertha Grill, G-R-I-L-L, born in Honolulu, Territory of Hawaii. Arrived in Alaska, June 5th, 1913, landing in Skagway. Minnie Doll Geis, G-E-I-S, was born in Kentucky, came to Alaska August 27, 1901. She writes, my home was in Owensboro, Kentucky, until 1891, when my parents came to Seattle, Washington. Lived there until I came to Alaska in 1901. My father came to Alaska in 1897, landing at Circle City. Was lost in the wreck of the steamer Islander in 1901. I married Robert J. Geis at Circle December 19, 1901. Have 4 living children, Charles, Charlotte, Dorothy, and Josephine, all born in Alaska. Up to the present time, (1917), have visited outside once. In 1909 was out 1 year. That's an old entry. Another former member, deceased now, of course, Mrs. Wilhelmina Gebhardt Gobrach, G-O-B-R-A-C-H-T, was born in the Rhineland, Germany, April 1st, 1865. In 1887, she came to New York City and was married to William Gobrach. Shortly after her marriage, she returned to Germany and entered a nurse's training school in Leipzig. After her graduation, she returned to New York City, and she with her husband, Mr. William Gobrach, came to Dawson, Yukon Territory, where they remained until 1904, when they came to Fairbanks, Alaska. With the exception of 1926, when she went to Minnesota for medical treatment, she has resided continuously in the Fairbanks District. She was a member of the Order of the Pioneer Women of Alaska. She was a true pioneer and beloved by all those that knew her, and leaves a host of friends to mourn her loss. Apparently she died in 1938. There's 1938 written on that I just read. Two news items are pasted in here concerning her. Called to rest after long illness, Mrs. W. Gobrach, beloved pioneer woman, passes away. Mrs. Wilhelmina Gobrach, beloved wife of William Gobrach, Yukon and Alaska pioneer resident for over 40 years, passed away at her home on 8th Avenue and Barnett Street at 3 o'clock this morning following the long illness. Mrs. Gobrach was a prominent member of the Pioneer Women of Alaska and one of the most highly esteemed pioneer women of the country. She first came north in 1898, accompanied by her husband, when they went to Dawson, where they spent several years. They were among the early arrivals in Fairbanks and have made their home here, or in the vicinity, ever since. born in the Rhineland, Germany, April 1st, 1865, and wedded to Mr. Goldbrock in New York City years later. Mrs. Goldbrock lived a long and happy life and was especially beloved by the many sourdoughs whom she befriended. To many of the miners who were here, she was practically a mother, and her passing was deeply mourned by them and a host of other friends. Mr. Goldbrock was with her to the last and is deeply grieved over his great loss. The deceased is survived by no relatives in this country. Mr. and Mrs. Goldbrock had no children. Mr. Goldbrock, the widowed husband, is noted as one of the most prominent old-time musicians of the North, and for years was eminent in his profession in America, having been a member of Gilmore's nationally famed band and the Metropolitan Theater Orchestra in New York, prior to that in the Blue Hussar Military Band in Bonn, Germany. Funeral services for Mrs. Goldbrock will be held under auspices of Pioneer Women of Alaska at 2 p.m. Tuesday at the H.H. Ross Mortuary Chapel. The other article is a follow-up on her funeral. Reads as follows. The funeral services were held at 2 o'clock Tuesday in Eagles Hall under auspices of the Order of Pioneer Women of Alaska for the late Mrs. William Goldbrock. Interment in the Pioneer's Plot in Fairbanks Cemetery was directed by Hosea H. Ross Mortuary. Mrs. Charles N. Creamer, Sr., President of the Pioneer Women, directed the placing of flowers and the colors of the order on the casket, which duty was performed by Mrs. Florence Brown, Sergeant-at-Arms. Mrs. Harry Carstens, historian, gave a brief sketch of Mrs. Goldbrock, who was born in Germany in 1865, went to Dawson in 98, and came to Fairbanks in 1904. Mrs. Creamer pronounced the eulogy, after which the vocal selection, "I Will Sing the Wondrous Story," was rendered. Mrs. June Bean, chaplain, offered the prayer. The rites were concluded with the vocal section, "Sleep on, beloved, sleep." At the cemetery, the brief committal service of the order took place. The pallbearers were William Creamer, Joe Ulmer, Albert Bell, Adolf Wiener, R.C. Rothenberg, and William Bolander. Dorothy Peck Green, who joined the Pioneer Women of Alaska in 1949, wrote on her application. She was born on March 9, 1890 in Tacoma, Washington, and she came to Juneau in March of 1898. She writes, "Harriet Trimmer Hess was my teacher in grammar school. My father is Grand President of the Grand Lodge of Pioneers of Alaska as of this date, 1949. In 1953, News Miner ran a series of Women of the Week. And Dorothy Green, this was in March of 1953, I'll read a story that appeared about her. She was the Queen Regent. "A woman whose gracious friendliness is felt this week throughout the Winter Carnival celebration, a woman who is truly an Alaskan pioneer, is honored by the Fairbanks Daily News Miner and Clark's Floral Shop as Woman of the Week. She is Dorothy Green, Queen Regent of the 1953 Winter Carnival, now in progress. Mrs. Green is president of the Pioneer Women of Alaska, a local organization whose member, pioneers in their own right, entered the territory prior to 1908. Born in Tacoma, Washington, Mrs. Green went to Juneau in 1898 as a child and lived there for many years. She was a buyer for Barron's and was also associated with Stevens' store there. Before coming to Fairbanks 12 years ago, Mrs. Green lived in the 40-mile district where her husband, B.B. Green, served as U.S. Commissioner. Green is now a construction inspector during the summer months, and for the past 8 years, Mrs. Green has been with Gordon's store. Customers entering the store recently have made a special point to seek out Mrs. Green. When will we again have the chance to have a queen wait on us?" they say. Queen Regent Dorothy and King Regent Frank B. Young, as well as past Regent royalty of former winter carnivals, are honored guests this afternoon at the Oaks Club, where coffee hours for all Pioneer Alaskans are taking place between 2 and 5 p.m. The event is being given by Auxiliary No. 8, Pioneers of Alaska, as a special winter carnival feature. Past King and Queen Regents expected to attend the coffee hours are Mrs. Alice Handley, 86, Mrs. Blanche Cascaden, Mrs. Minnie Brewis, Mrs. Adriana Coyle, Henry Appel, John W.I.K., says, and Ed Crawford. That should have been John Vick, V-I-C-K, instead of Wick. Mrs. Coyle is the only Queen Regent who has ever held the distinction of wearing the priceless nugget-studded ivory crown. It was during Mrs. Coyle's reign as Queen Regent in 1951 that the Winter Carnival did not include a queen contest in the celebration, so Mrs. Coyle presided throughout. At her side was Pioneer Alaskan James E. Barrick, now vacationing in Seattle. A special King and Queen Regent's table, centered with a beautiful arrangement of spring flowers from Clark's Floral Shop, will honor the present and past Pioneer royalty this afternoon. Corsages and boutonnieres for the present royalty. For further gifts from Clark's, a bouquet centerpiece will be taken home by Queen Dorothy as her Woman of the Week tribute. King and Queen Regents of other years have been 1934 William N. Scotty Craig, Catherine Van Curler, 1935 none, only Queens. Apparently they're referring here to Carnival Queens and all Pioneer Regents that year. However, in 1935, my records from the Pioneer Women of Alaska, which was signed and certified, as a matter of fact, by their president, lists in 1935 the Queen Regent as Minnie Creamer, C-R-E-A-M-E-R, and the King Regent, Peter Dicer, D-E-I-S-E-R, Dicer, D-E-I-S-E-R. Going on with this story, in 1936, the King and Queen Regents were Ole Fisher and Elaine Robinson. According to my records, it's Eleanor Robinson and Ole Fisher. 1937, John Buckley and Mary Creamer. 1938, John Groves, Delia Dunham. 1939, Lou Colbert, Alice Handley. 1940, John Quinbow and Jesse Biermark. 41, Jack Burrington, Stacia Rickert. And in my Pioneer records, it shows that it's Jack Burlington, B-U-R-L-I-N-G-T-O-N, and Stacia Rickert. 1942, 43, 44, and 45 were war years and no carnival, no King and Queen Regents. 1946, Otto Nielsen and Genevieve Parker. 47, Blanche Cascaden, Henry Appel. 1948, Richard Rothenberg and Minnie Brewis. 1949, Laura O'Flanagan and Emil Van Rays. '50, John Vick and Barbara Wiener. 1951, James E. Barrick, Adriana Coyle. 1952, Ed Crawford and Stella Herring. Fairbanks Daily News Miner and Clark's Floral Shop proudly honor Queen Regent Dorothy Green, a gracious, friendly, charming pioneer of Alaska, as Woman of the Week. Elizabeth Griffith joined the Pioneer Women of Alaska, Igloo No. 3. At the time she joined, the historian was Louise Carstens and the secretary is Bessie Spencer. Doesn't give a year when she joined. All we have on her in this record is her name, Elizabeth Griffith, born in Cleetermoor, Cumberland, England, arrived in Alaska in the summer of 1904. Mrs. Florence Kling Harding, wife of the President of the United States, was a member of the Pioneer Women of Alaska. She was granted honorary membership in 1923 when she visited Fairbanks with President Harding. Not sure when she died, but there's an copy of a newspaper clipping here. Oh, here it is. November 22nd, 1924. Dateline Marion, Ohio. On November 21, this article is November 21, International News Service. Mrs. Florence Kling Harding, widow of the late President Harding, died at 8:55 o'clock this morning at the home of Mrs. Charles E. Sawyer, White Oaks Farm. Funeral services will be conducted Monday afternoon at Epworth ME Church. Mrs. Harding had been a member of that church since girlhood. Dr. Jesse Swank, pastor of Epworth Church, and Dr. George M. Landis, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church, of which President Harding was a member, will officiate. Today, Mrs. Harding's body was removed to the home of her niece, Mrs. Frank J. Longshore, on East Church Street. Following the services Monday, the body will be placed beside that of the President in the temporary receiving vault at Mario's Cemetery until the Harding Memorial is completed. Dr. Carl W. Sawyer signed the death certificate as follows. Cause of death, chronic nephritis, contributor, chronic myocarditis and hydronephrosis. Difficult to read the story, so I'll just go through picking up what I can. Since the death of President Harding at San Francisco on August 2nd last year, Mrs. Harding had never been regarded as quite recovered from the shock and the terrible strain of crossing the continent on the funeral train, with the endless grief-ridden formalities that followed. "Someday I will make Warren president," said Mrs. Harding on her wedding day, and many friends said it was she, more than any other influence, that was responsible for his rise to that position. Mrs. Warren G. Harding, who before her marriage to the late president was Florence Kling, was born in his hometown of Marion, Ohio in 1860. She came of a sturdy stock of pioneers, her father, Amos Kling, being one of the town's pioneers. She married Harding in 1891, while he was just beginning his struggle to build up the Marion Star, which he had just bought. Always accustomed to a frugal life, she at once turned to the task of aiding her editor husband. She worked in the business office of the paper and soon was its business manager. When President Warren G. Harding and Mrs. Harding met and talked a while with a woman in faraway Nenana, Alaska, on the last long trip they took together, they little dreamed that she was destined to write a poem that should be the solace of Mrs. Harding when the bereavement fell upon her in San Francisco 15 months ago. When the president died, Mrs. Hattie M. D'Orsay, now living at 840 Powell Street here, that's in Marion, Ohio. She composed a poem and forwarded it to Mrs. Harding. The message of hope, penned in a little Alaska cabin, so touched the president's widow that she committed it to heart and was often wont to repeat it to her friends. Twice Mrs. Harding wrote her appreciation to Mrs. D'Orsay. Only a few weeks ago she sent her an photograph of herself, taken at Portland on the day the president was stricken with the illness that terminated fatally. Mrs. D'Orsay cherishes the original draft of the poem. This is the text. Good morrow, dedicated to Mrs. Warren G. Harding. The sun goes down at eventide, but morn doth follow ever. The season's flowers but rest a while, as from their stem they sever. All things in season, saith our Lord, not can be lost nor never, No, never. The whispering breeze, the growing green, goes on and on forever. As gently as the grass he came and passed, I mourn, and this the reason for, oh, I miss my mate the while, until in God's own season we'll meet again in fairer fields. Beyond the reach of sorrow, beyond the day which separates for soon, to be good morrow. What though the grasses seem less green, the flowers no longer gay, tomorrow I will walk with him as I did yesterday. By Hattie M. Dorsey, Nenana, Alaska. Amante Tonsith Hansen was born in Portland, Oregon, arrived in Chena, Alaska, September 14, 1907. She writes of herself, she joined the pioneer women. Amanta Marie Tonsith Hansen was born June 3, 1900, graduated from Fairbanks High School May 24, 1918, taught school at 18 Mile Roadhouse, Tofty, Fox, Napamute, to the summer of 1921, married Fred Hansen of Tofty November 7, 1921, gave birth to Robert Lloyd Hansen August 27, 1922, and to Stanley Howard Hansen July 4, 1924. I'm a member of the American Legion Auxiliary Dorman H. Baker Post number 11, Golden North Rebecca Lodge number 4A, Pioneer Women of Alaska, Igloo number 3, and the First Presbyterian Church, all of Fairbanks. Place of residence when she joined the Pioneer Women was Tofty, Alaska. Her parents were Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Tonsith. In 1965, Amanta Hansen was Queen Regent for the Pioneers. King Regent that year was William Seguin, I guess it is, S-E-G-U-I-N. Story appeared in News Minor at that time on the two. I'll read them both. It was 58 years ago that Amanta Tonsith Hansen arrived in Alaska on board the sternwheeler Lavelle Young. This, you'll note, was written July, appeared in the July 21, 1965, Fairbanks Daily News Minor. Anyway, arrived in Alaska on board the sternwheeler Lavelle Young with her mother and two brothers. When they docked at Chena, a community upriver from Fairbanks, it should be downriver from Fairbanks, it was at the junction of the Chena and the Tanana Rivers. They were met by Amanta's father, Thomas Tonsith. They would make their home in Chena for 2 years. Today, Mrs. Hansen, who is Queen Regent of Golden Days, is living in the family home at 133-4th, which includes 2 rooms from the old Tonsith home at Chena, which was moved to Fairbanks more than 50 years ago. "I don't want to go back to the old days," Mrs. Hansen said. "I like the modern conveniences of today." When she was a girl growing up in Fairbanks, she helped her brothers chop wood for the family stoves. Oil lamps and candles were used for light in the early days, and families carried water from a community well. Amanta graduated from high school here in 1918, she says of that. Our graduating class of 7 pupils was the largest to that time. There were 31 students in the entire high school, quite a difference from today, with the Lathrop High School student body of 1,500. Highlights of Amanta's childhood included berry picking, rabbit hunting, and picnicking in the Fairbanks area that is now Fort Wainwright, Hamilton Acres, and South Cushman. One man who lived during the early days, whom I will never forget, was Captain Howard Langley, owner and skipper of the sternwheeler Tana, Mrs. Hansen said. Each fall before school opened, he would invite all youngsters of the town to go on a free excursion to the spot on the south bank of the Tanana River for a picnic. The mothers would pack a lunch for their families. We looked forward to these trips from 1 year to the next. As Queen Regent, Mrs. Hanson wanted to get something accomplished for the pioneers. I don't want to be a regent in name only, she said. It was my hope that the Golden Days Committee would make my suggestion to provide special privileges to the old-timers who want to take part in the Golden Days activities. I think of a pioneer who's been here 40 years or more. He should be given free passes to the events, and transportation should be arranged for those that need it. After all, she added, if it wasn't for the pioneers, we wouldn't be having this celebration, and there are many old-timers who can't afford to come to it. Visitors to Fairbanks and friends of Mrs. Hanson's will have an opportunity to meet her at the Regent's Tea Friday at Eagles Hall from 2 to 5 p.m. Mrs. Hanson and King Regent will also take part in the dedication ceremony at Pedro Monument and will be on the reviewing stand for the parade Saturday. For many years, Mrs. Hanson has worked in Fairbanks as a cook and matron at the jail. She is now retired and enjoys an active life, traveling by car to the smaller states during the winter months, returning to Fairbanks for the summer. Among her activities is membership in the Pioneer Women of Alaska, an exclusive organization for women who arrived in Alaska or the Yukon Territory before 1908. Amanta has served as president and is now secretary. For the past several years, she has faithfully mailed out the birthday lists of old-timers who are celebrating a birthday at the Pioneer's home in Sitka. Mrs. Hanson is a charter and life member of the Order of the Amaranth. She was granted life membership in the Eastern Star after attending for 25 years. Amanta has been a member of the Golden North Rebecca Lodge since 1921 and has gone through all the chairs as well as serving as district deputy president. She received the Rebecca Lodge Decoration of Chivalry. In January this year, Mrs. Hanson celebrated her 50th anniversary of her membership in the First Presbyterian Church of Fairbanks. Two of her sons, Don and Robert Hanson, and their families make their home in Spinard. Don is a school teacher and Robert is vice president of Reeve Aleutian Airlines and is first vice president of the Pioneer Igloo in Anchorage. Stanley Hanson lives in Moses Lake, Washington. The King Regent, William Seguin, had been a resident for the last 57 years. Again, this was written in 1965. He and his wife make their home at 203 Dunkel. Seguin is 79 years old. He was a prospector in Dawson in 1906 before coming to Fairbanks, where he worked as a miner and stagecoach operator. I'll read what was written about William Seguin at that time. Of course, he's passed away by now. This story was written by Joanne Wold. Our Golden Days King Regent is William Seguin, 203 Dunkel. He likes to be called Willie. In 1906, Willie was in Dawson City prospecting with the other miners who hoped there was still some gold left after the big strike of 98. 2 years later, Seguin was in Fairbanks, and he's been here ever since. I always liked this country, he said. I stay here. In the early days, he mined in many creeks in the Fairbanks district, which included Fox, Esther, Fairbanks Creek, Chattanooga, and others. I've seen lots of gold taken out of this country, Willie said. He describes Fairbanks in 1908 as wide open with lots of gambling and dance halls. Fairbanks changed a lot since then, he said. Then Fairbanks was good. There were not so many people in town, but out at creeks everybody was mining. Nobody out here there now. The King Regent said that the big summer celebration in Fairbanks in the early days was the 4th of July. It was good, he said. All the people came in and all, from the creeks to celebrate in Fairbanks. Nowadays on the 4th, all the people go out of town. He said everybody had a flag out celebrating the 4th of July. There were grandstands built on the banks of the Chena River from Turner Street to the Fairview Hotel. The crowds could sit and watch the parade, the tug-of-war contest, the foot races, and the women's nail-driving contest. In 1921, Seguin decided to go into business for himself. I bought me a Ford and took tourists on trips from Fairbanks to Chitna and Valdez. There were lots of tourists then, too, he said. Willie took tourists over the road only in the summer months. The trail was a lot different now than it was 40 years ago, he said. Later, Willie bought a 7-passenger Studebaker, a Ford, and a Buick, and carried passengers and freight from Fairbanks to Chattanooga and Fairbanks Creek. In 1927, he sold out and went to work for the FE company. In 1945, he went to work for the government until he Mrs. Alice Handley was born in Pennsylvania. Was married to William Handley, October 1st, 1907, in Fairbanks. No children, she said. I left Dawson June 11th, 1904, for Fairbanks on the steamer Monarch, arriving in Fairbanks July 2nd, 1904, and have lived here ever since, with the exception of several visits outside. She writes, I have enjoyed living in Alaska and meeting the people so bold who came and blazed the trail to the land of gold. The unknown park have been explored, the wealth of Wonderland has recognized the mix. The master has kissed the master's hand. Can't read it too well. This is in 1939. Mrs. Handley was Queen Regent with Lew Colbert. I'll just read a story that came out then in Fairbanks News Minor, probably. King Lew and Queen Alice will reign over carnival festivities, it says. L.D. Colbert and Mrs. Handley represent pioneers jointly. All hail, King Lew, it reads. Louis D. Colbert will reign in regal splendor over the 1939 Ice Carnival as King Regent, jointly with His Majesty Queen Alice, Mrs. William H. Handley, the Queen Regent. The honor was conferred on Mr. Colbert by Fairbanks Igloo No. 4 of the Pioneers of Alaska at their meeting Monday night at Eagle Hall. Mrs. Handley was elected Queen Regent by the Pioneer Women of Alaska Saturday night. The King Regent and the Queen Regent will represent the pioneers in the great celebration, and with Miss Alaska, Miss Fairbanks, and queens from other communities, including Miss Yukon from Dawson, will form the Royal Carnival Court. The King Regent and Queen Regent are elected in accordance with the request of the carnival management. The pioneers and the pioneer women also were designated to have supreme authority on Pioneer Day, March 11th, and to take charge of the grand ball to be held that night. King Lew won his crown by a peculiar quirk. Mr. Colbert was present at the large regular meeting of the pioneers. Rising to ask if the igloo was to elect a regent, he was promptly confronted by the remarks from President Tom Nerland and Secretary R.C. Rothenberg that the matter would be dealt with immediately, whereupon past President Cecil Clegg leaped to his feet and said, yes, and since Pioneer Colbert has asked about it, I nominate him for king. Immediately, nominations were closed and King Lew carried the election by acclamation. I accept the honor and will be proud to serve, said the well-known prospector and mining man. The pioneers accepted and initiated into the order Pete Johnson of Hot Springs, H.A. Stockman of Nulato, and Joe Hootula, Alex Hogbloom of Fairbanks. Roy Frankhauser, who was accepted as a member at a previous meeting, also was initiated last evening. Jess Rust, chairman, and V.F. Jacob, Fairbanks' popular and capable band leader, were appointed a special committee to take charge of the Pioneer Ball and other arrangements in cooperation with a similar committee representing the Pioneer Women. After the business session, the pioneers spent a merry time under good of the order, followed by a special session during which hot dogs, cake, coffee, and other refreshments were enjoyed. In July of 1959, Mrs. Handley died. There's an article here in Clipping. It's attached in the record book. There's a date written on this clipping, July 1st, 1959. Funeral services for Mrs. Alice Handley, pioneer Alaskan, will be at 2 p.m. tomorrow at the First Presbyterian Church. Burial will be in the pioneer's plot at Birch Hill Cemetery beside the grave of her husband, Bill, who was a tinsmith for Fairbanks. Burial rites are to be conducted by the pioneer women of Alaska. Mrs. Handley, who was 94 years old on June 17th, was born at Mount Carmel, Pennsylvania. The pioneer woman came north to Dawson in 1902 after living in Kansas City and Seattle. Following her marriage in Dawson, she and her husband came to Fairbanks in 1906, acquiring the property now known as 515 6th Avenue. They staked the land at a cost of $2.50 and lived in a tent on the site. There was one log cabin on the street in addition to her residence at that time. Friends affectionately called Mrs. Handley Dutch Cleanser, for she was a meticulous housekeeper and was even reputed to have scrubbed her sidewalks. She worked for many years at the Fairbanks Laundry. The pioneer citizen was the oldest member of the Fairbanks First Presbyterian Church, becoming a member on January 14, 1912. She was elected to the Board of Trustees in 1922 and served until 1939. Mrs. Handley moved to the pioneer home in Sitka in 1957, but returned each summer to Fairbanks. She was a member of the former Women of Alaska, was chaplain emeritus of the Pioneer Women of Alaska, and was active in the Pioneers of Alaska Auxiliary No. 8. Paul bearers will be Paul Griman Sr., Einar Tonseth, James Smith, William Stroker, Donald Herring, and John Link, her neighbor and purchaser of her husband's tin shop on 7th Avenue. Known survivors include her sister, Mrs. Kate Frey, of Seattle, and a nephew, Fred Frey, also of Seattle. Mrs. Handley died Saturday at the Pioneer Home in Sitka. Jesse M. Howard, whose maiden name was Jesse M. Rose, is another member of the Pioneer Women of Alaska. She was born February 8, 1868, in Castroville, California. She arrived at Douglas Island, Alaska, June of 1896. She went to Dawson in March of 1898. Came to Coldfoot, Alaska, 1903, and Tanana, 1920, and Ophir, in 1934. No further history on Mrs. Howard. Mary Hawke, H-A-H-C-H-E, arrived in Alaska in 1908, was born in Wales. All she writes is that Mr. Hawke came to Alaska over Chilkoot Pass in 1898. Mr. Hawke was at sheep camp during the big snow slide. I joined my husband at Fairbanks in 1908. She's a mother of 7 children. Mrs. Agnes Potts Herring was honored as Fairbanks Outstanding Woman of 1949. She was born on August 7, 1874, in Ireland. Arrived in Dawson in August of 1899. August of 1899. Mrs. Herring writes that she was born in Ballybay County, Ireland, came to Seattle when 15 years old, married Edward Arthur Herring, August 16, 1896, came to Dawson Yukon Territory, August 14, 1899. Born of this union were George Edward Herring, Muriel Estelle Herring, John Lee Victor Herring, Alan Reed Herring, Arthur Everett Herring, Donald Murray Herring, Agnes Gladys Herring, Hazel Patricia Herring, Thomas Alexander Herring, Walter Andrew Herring, Betty Jane Herring. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 children. Mr. Herring died March 27, 1927. Walter Andrew Herring died April 29, 1945, killed in action at Formosa. Alan Reed Herring died June 19, 1913, at the age of 6 years and 1 day. John Lee Victor on October 7, 1905, age 5 years, 12 days. Walter Andrew Herring, who died during World War II, is the person after whom Herring Auditorium at Lathrop High School is named. I'm going to read this article on Mrs. Herring. When she was selected Fairbanks Outstanding Woman of 1949. Mrs. Agnes Potts Herring, beloved pioneer resident, was named Outstanding Woman of Fairbanks for 1949 during a social dinner meeting of the Soroptimist Club last night at Ann Sheik's. Chosen in the last business session in June before the summer recess, Mrs. Herring's name was kept a secret until this week, when Mrs. Ruth Y. Barrick, president of the local club, paid a visit to Mrs. Herring at her home to inform her of the honor. Last year, Mrs. Clara Rust was given the title as the first Outstanding Woman of Fairbanks for her outstanding club work in the community and her devotion to her family. Mrs. Herring is recipient of the honor this year on the merits of her many little kindnesses which have endeared her to everyone since the earliest days of Fairbanks. Mother of a large family, Mrs. Herring's house has always been like home to little ones and young people alike of this city. Mrs. W. G. Bates, the former Marion Thompson, daughter of W. F. Thompson, well-known early-day Newsminer editor, recalls when she and her two brothers were children, they never missed baking day at Mrs. Herring's. Speaking of those days, she said, "None of us will ever forget the delicious bread, cookies, and cakes Mrs. Herring seemed always to have on hand, and through the years, the hundreds of sandwiches appearing in quantity, no matter how many were gathered around." Thoughtfulness of others has been the keynote of Mrs. Herring's active life, and the Soroptimist Club felt no one was more deserving of loving appreciation. Born in Ireland, August 7, 1874, Mrs. Herring came to America when she was 15 years old for a visit with a brother living in Seattle. In 1896, she became the bride of Edward Arthur Herring. The couple came to Alaska during the early gold rush days of 1899, and with their firstborn son, George Edward Herring, now of Davenport, Washington, traveled over the newly laid railroad from Skagway to Whitehorse. Taking up residence on Dominion Creek in the Yukon Territory, Mr. Herring was a newspaperman at Dawson for some years. Two children were born there, the present Mrs. Carl E. Johnson, now of this city, and son Victor, who passed away before the family came to the new camp of Fairbanks in 1906. It was here that 8 of Mrs. Herring's 11 children were born. They are, in the order of their birth, Alan Reed Herring, who died at the age of 6, Arthur E. Herring, now associated with the Fairbanks Lumber Supply, Donald M. Herring, who was with the Sourdough Express Company here, Mrs. Leo Schlofelt and Mrs. Eugene Rogie of this city, Thomas A. Herring, an engineer at Ladd Air Force Base, the late Lieutenant Commander Walter A. Herring, graduate of the United States Naval Academy at Annapolis with the class of 1938 and fatally wounded during the Battle of Okinawa, Mrs. J. Winfrey of Fairbanks. There are now 18 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren. Upon the arrival, family's arrival in Fairbanks, Herring was employed in the post office and later acquired the Sourdough Express, which he operated until his death in 1927. With all her children young and at home, Mrs. Herring joined the Fairbanks Telephone Company staff, where she worked for many years to keep her family together and give them a start in life. Mrs. Herring is a past worthy matron of the Order of Eastern Star and a past president of the Pioneer Women. Honored last night as special guest, Mrs. Herring attended the Soroptimus social meeting. The beautifully appointed tables with colorful floral centerpieces and softly glowing tapers add a gracious atmosphere for the delicious turkey dinner. In the presence of 23 club members and 5 additional guests, a corsage of red roses was presented Mrs. Herring by Mrs. Barrick, who, after expressing the pleasure the club members felt in their choice of outstanding women of Fairbanks, gave Mrs. Herring a leather-bound booklet in which each member of the Soroptimus had written an individual paragraph of affectionate regard. As compliment to Mrs. Herring, her daughter, Mrs. Johnson, attended the dinner, as well as Mrs. Thomas McKinnon, whose personal friend and close personal friend and Rotary Club mother. Other guests included Miss Barbara Barrick, eldest daughter of Mrs. Barrick, Miss Margaret Patton, sister of Mrs. Frances Baker, and Mrs. Lucille Meath, daughter of the late Mrs. Marcia Lavery, one of the Fairbanks Soroptimus Club's first members.